Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 12th, 2014. With me today, I have two amazing personalities that that are melting my mind. John Martellaro, how are you, John?
Good morning. If only you guys could have heard the pre-show discussion.
it would have changed everyone.
We were lit up, yes.
And also Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
Hello!
Hello!
I had to get that in.
You did. You know, okay, I'm going to go off book for just a second and tell everyone, if you didn't know, Robin Williams passed away yesterday. He committed suicide. It was a horrible tragedy and a horrible loss. And it's an excellent reminder why it's important to treat depression as a serious issue. And if you're having any kind of trouble, find someone to reach out to because we lost Robin. We don't need to lose you too.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Now back to the cool tech stuff. Yeah. So John, you wrote an interesting piece yesterday about the whole thing with iPhone getting a bigger display.
Well, it all started when the Amazon Fire Phone arrived with its 4.7-inch display. And I started handling it and surfing and reading email. And it dawned on me that this is a much better size screen. I can do more. I can see more. And I've written about this before as the internet has expanded and as the capabilities of our smartphones have linked into the internet more and more. We do things with our phones that we never dreamed of doing before. So I went over to the Martellaro Family Museum of Technology, and I pulled out the old 3GS, which still boots up nicely into iOS 6.1.6. I put it on the Wi-Fi, and I started looking at some web pages, and I was appalled that we could ever live with a 3.5-inch screen and that we ever read websites. But, you know, we do so much more. And as our technology skills with smartphones have grown, so have our needs. And it's natural for us to go to a bigger and bigger screen with things like maps and watching movies and reading Kindle books and doing banking and all the things that we do nowadays with our 1.2 million apps. So I put the iPhone 3GS next to my iPhone 5S and then put the Amazon Fire Phone next to that. Took a photograph of the Mac Observer page, and you can hardly see anything at all at the MacObserver.com. And the iPhone 5S is a little better, but I really like the size of the Fire Phone. And I'm thinking that if the rumors are true, and Apple comes out with also a 4.7-inch phone, it's going to be really nice, and I'm going to like it a lot. So that's what I wrote about yesterday, looking back at our ridiculous 3.5-inch iPhone displays.
You know, I'm kind of torn here, John, because I do like the idea of being able to see more, but I don't like the idea of my iPhone becoming a device that I can't easily use one-handed. And the 5 and 5S are right on that cusp. I have to juggle them around a little bit in my hand to use them. And I fear that with a bigger screen, my iPhone will no longer be a single-handed device.
Well, I tried that test. I did the Phil Schiller thumb test with the Amazon Fire Phone, and it worked fine. And I was able to hold it comfortably in my hand. My thumb was able to reach the top and the bottom. Of course, I'm a good-sized, you know, six-foot male with good-sized hands. It may not work for everyone, but it worked for me.
Yeah, and of course, none of us have actually held a 4.7-inch iPhone yet, so we can't say how well it will work. And of course, Apple hasn't even announced it yet, so we don't know what they're going to show us.
Right.
Maybe it'll be okay, but I'm really worried that I'm going to be using a smartphone that's now too big for my hand.
Well, and my issue is too big for my pocket because I carry my phone in my pocket, not in my purse. And a lot of pockets in women's pants, whether it's jeans or shorts or anything else, those pockets tend to be really small. And I have a number of items of clothing right now that don't hold a five appropriately. So, like, it sticks out, like, the top half inch to an inch or so will stick out of my pocket if I put it in my pocket so that it, you know, that's the best way to get it to fit. So I have kind of a similar issue, and I'm the exception because I also have teeny weeny hands, but also I have good vision. And so I'm not a person – I'm not like my parents who all need reading glasses, and I'm not like other people who you know, get to a certain point in life and then, you know, you start needing reading glasses every once in a while for something, then you need them all the time. Like, I'm not that person. I had laser eye surgery a few years ago, and so my bad eye is 20/20. So for me, like, I ratchet everything down to, like, the smallest font setting I can get my hands on, and I leave everything really little, and I try to maximize the space that I have visually by doing that. So for me, it's not as big a deal as it would be for someone else or for me when I was still wearing contacts, when I would ease up on it has to be the smallest point size or I can't really read it. I can totally read it comfortably the way it is now. So I'm very interested because I didn't think I was going to enjoy the 5, the size of the iPhone 5 with that extra row of icons. But because they were able to do it by making it taller and having virtually no bezel on the sides, it made it something that is more or less usable by me with one hand. And when it becomes a matter of logistics as far as screen display and that sort of thing, I start thinking about when we start talking about the wristband and all, you know, since we're on the topic of stuff Apple hasn't officially announced yet, if Apple's going to make something I can put on my arm, I want to make sure that it feels like a watch that I would normally wear on my arm and not like I've strapped a Volkswagen to it.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting question about how we carry our phones. You know, a lot of people put their phones in the back pocket. I always worry about that, getting into the car and then sitting on the phone and then bending it. That's why I use a belt holster. But when I got the iPhone 5 and I started reviewing cases, it wouldn't fit in any of the iPhone 5 standard cases. So I went to the Verizon store and I found this oversized belt holster that was designed for big Android phones. And then mm-hmm. I could put a nice big case, you know, like from OtterBox or somebody on my iPhone 5S, and it would still fit. Well, guess what? This 4.7-inch Amazon Fire Phone doesn't even fit in that belt holster.
So now you need a satchel.
So, I'm going to have to get a bigger belt holster. It makes me think maybe what we need is some new fashion wear from Apple, like a shoulder holster, where you have your phone. Instead of a Colt 45, you have your phone.
Oh, I saw a guy at CES wearing one of those.
That's a thing.
Yeah? Oh, I want one. Oh.
That is a thing.
I got to find. Show me where to get one of those after the show.
I like the idea of John having a utility belt, though.
You know who used to have a utility belt is Andy Anatko.
He did
a utility belt for a while.
Oh, you mean with batteries hanging off and tools and stuff?
What he did was he went and bought like a nylon police style gun belt, and then put all these pouches all around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
I remember that.
Yep. Then everything that he needed was tucked away in this utility belt. And when he'd hit the security line at the airport, he'd just pop his belt off, drop it on the belt.
Clunk.
And they would freak out because they had no idea.
Because utility belt.
Yeah, utility belt. And yeah, so I can totally see you wearing a utility belt, John. And well, I hope that you have little smoke bombs in it.
Maybe too. I can go to the Army Navy surplus or something and find, or maybe I can go to the police equipment store and find one of those black leather belts that the police wear where they put their clips in and everything, and then I'll have my batteries and my styluses.
Totally. Now, John, just so you know, the nylon style will be more comfortable than the leather style.
Breeze.
And it has just the right amount of flex with the right amount of rigidity. And so that'll be a much better way to go.
I'll take a selfie and post it.
I am so looking forward to seeing that.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I just don't know where we can go from there with that. So I'm just going to switch topics now. And the other topic that I wanted to to look at today. This is something I wrote about yesterday. I lost my Fitbit, and it was kind of stupid because what had happened was I was wearing it in the little sleep wristband, but it kind of flew out the side of it because my wristband is old and kind of stretched out a little bit. And so I didn't know where I'd lost it. So what I ended up doing, because we don't have Find My Fitbit like we have Find My iPhone, and this just frustrates me to no end, I decided that that I would set up a grid pattern and work my way through that, through the areas that I had been to find this thing. And then I ended up using an application with that called BTL... I just forgot the name of the app.
BT Explorer.
BT Explorer, that's it. BT Explorer, thank you. It's a free app you can put on your iPhone, and you can use it to see what the actual signal strength is from the Bluetooth devices that are around it. And so using that, I was able to very slowly narrow down my search area to the point where I had gone from it's lost in the yard to it's in this one quarter of my bedroom. And from there, I ended up using the built-in silent alarm feature that it has, which vibrates, and then I listened for the vibration, and then I was able to find it in the very last place, both figuratively and literally, where I would look, and it was behind a box against a wall. I have no idea how it could have managed to get exactly there, but there you go, and I found it. So. Where am I going with this? Where I'm going is there are alternative ways to track things down, the tech gear that we have when we lose it. And this trick that I used with BT Explorer was turned out to be really clever. And actually, one of my Twitter followers recommended I try the app. And I realized I was seeing all the Bluetooth devices around me. So you could actually use this to track down, say, a lost Bluetooth headset, a stylus that's on Bluetooth, and all different kinds of things. So there you go. That's kind of a little PSA. And I'm curious, what kinds of stuff have you guys lost?
Nothing connected to Bluetooth, sadly, because maybe I would have been able to track it down.
Yeah.
I have lost a... See, here's the thing is that I lose stuff a lot, and it's usually things that, like, inconsequential things. It'll be, like, a pen, not, like, a nice pen, but, you know, the pen I was using to write with, and I finally found one that didn't give me the blue hand, and so I was excited about it, and now it's gone. I lose things like that a lot, and so there's a special place in my heart for that bit George Carlin used to do about how the definition of heaven is you get back all the stuff you lost. Because that's totally me. I lose things all the time, but knowing that this is an option and knowing that more and more things are moving toward being Bluetooth connected to other things in some way means that maybe the next time my Fitbit disappears, I'll be able to track it down. Because I did lose one, and I lost it forever because it kept sinking, but the battery died, and I didn't have a better way to tell where it was than... When I'm on this level of my house, it sinks, and when I'm on this level of my house, it doesn't. That was really the best I could do.
How frustrating.
This will come as no surprise to anyone, but I have a very spatial memory, and I have a place for everything. And so I put things in a certain place, and then I very seldom lose them. My wife is the completely opposite. She'll take off her eyeglasses and put them down wherever she is, and then we'll spend a long time looking for them. And it drives me crazy because I like to have things, you know, I designate physical places for things. And don't
maybe
lose.
She needs Bluetooth glasses.
I don't lose stuff very much. Yeah, maybe. You know, Bluetooth glasses. You know, if there's one article I could send back in time right now to the 1950s for people to read, it would be this article, Jeff. Blow their minds.
They would not believe it. Would they believe the tweet I did the other day when I was talking about updating the firmware on my pencil. They'd be like, "He's had a stroke. This makes no sense."
I read that and I went, "There's only a certain group of people who are going to read this and understand what on earth you're talking about."
But for that group, they're all going, "Yep."
Mm-hmm.
So it occurred to me on the stylus thing real quick before we wrap up, because we're out of time. If you think that you are prone to losing your stylus, the Pogo Connect, there's an app for it that you can get. And this actually comes from Pogo, that will let you track down where it is, and you can set off like little alarms on it so it's easier to find.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so there you go. If you want a pressure-sensitive stylus for your iPad and you think you'll lose it, check out the Pogo Connect because they have the app that you need to track it down.
So the next phase of this is a holographic display where every device you own transmits on an IPv6 address, and then you turn on this like Princess Leia like display where floating in front of you is this stuff in space that is like floating around you in swarms, and you just reach out and touch the device you want to find. It goes bzzz, and then it makes a noise. So that's the next step.
And this, John, is exactly why I love you. And on that happy, loving note, we are out of time. Thank you, John. Thank you, Kelly, for joining me today.
You bet.
And if you know anyone that really needs a hug, be sure and give it to them.
Indeed.
Yes.